Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It is episode 60 of Stands and Fits, presented as always by the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University. What's up, man?
How's it going? We are at tournament week.
It is tournament week.
Yep.
I also need to mention Cyclone Fanatic's coverage of the 2019 NCAA tournament is presented by the Iowa Clinic and the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. The Iowa Clinic is a longtime supporter of what we do at Cyclone Fanatic and is a big reason why you can consume all of our content 100% free of charge. Be a man, go to the doctor, thanks to our friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. We had to knock this out tonight because Chris and I are leaving early tomorrow morning for Tulsa, Oklahoma.
You guys get an Airbnb down there, hotel? What's the setup this time?
We are in the media hotel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we're good to go.
High class,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's probably about the exact same hotel as the one we just got out of in Kansas City.
Sweet.
You ever been to Tulsa?
I was actually just going to ask you that. Have you been there, I guess, since you've been with Cycle Fanatic? Because we played Tulsa in football a couple times, I know.
Yeah, I've never been to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I think I've been to Oklahoma once.
I've driven through Oklahoma. That's about it.
Yeah, I went to Dallas once. I think that's the only time I've ever been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and obviously we were just passing through.
Yep.
So this will be a new experience. Do you know of anything to do in Tulsa?
No.
Neither do I. I was talking to my neighbor last night about going to Tulsa, and he said something about how he thinks it's weird. He commented, it's like, it's weird that the tournament's coming to Des Moines. And I was like, well, it's kind of like the size of city that they generally go to.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but there's like what do the fans do like when they're not? I was like, I don't know, drink.
Yeah.
What else is there to do? I was like, what is there to do in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Hartford, Connecticut?
Yeah.
You know, Columbia, South Carolina,
Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these places, they've been to Boise before.
Yeah.
There's way worse places to be than Des Moines.
Yeah.
Not that Tulsa's bad or anything like that, but
no.
It's like, it just realistically, it's like the same size of cities always get this kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, Des Moines is really that recognized for its nightlife, but I think it's a generally overall clean city, and, you know, it's got its spots that are...
Oh, yeah. I feel like most people that probably come here are surprised,
yeah,
you know, by what Des Moines has to offer.
I mean, people who are from out of state probably just think, oh, it's going to be in the middle of a cornfield.
Exactly.
But then, no, it's actually a nice little, you know, Midwestern town.
But realistically, like, if you think about the cities that they have these first and second round games in, it's all cities the size of Des Moines.
Yeah.
And then sometimes those cities, you know, like Omaha, a Kansas City, where, you know, they're not that much bigger. I mean, those cities are both considerably larger than Des Moines,
mm-hmm.
but they like get their footing in those first and second rounds. And then you see them where they get a regional. I don't think Des Moines would probably ever get a regional, 'cause I don't think the arena is big enough,
mm-hmm.
but that's just kind of what it takes, you know,
yeah.
to help elevate the stature of your city in that sense.
I guess one thing, I don't know the answer to this. I should just Google it, but how far away from Oklahoma City is Tulsa? Like, is there a chance that you could go over for a Thunder game at some point or something?
Man, that'd be cool. Oklahoma City
to Tulsa.
to Tulsa.
To Las, Oklahoma.
It is 1 hour and 39 minutes, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a haul.
I'm not going to get an Uber.
No.
3 hours from Tulsa to Oklahoma City.
And you're still underage, so they'd charge you if you rented a car, too.
Yeah.
So. But you're coming up on 25, aren't you?
Yeah, I am in August.
There you go.
So 5 months out from 25.
Close, but no cigar right now.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about it. I mean, it would be cool to go to a Thunder game. I think I'll have plenty to do.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's also the NCAA tournament, so I think I'll have plenty to watch.
Plenty
of basketball to watch.
Exactly.
Without having to go to a Thunder game.
And break down in the off time, obviously. Too.
Exactly. Break down in the off time, right about. It'll be fun. My second NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
My first and second round opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been to the Sweet 16 previously, so.
So technically you were bad luck since you went to the Sweet 16 and they lost.
In theory, I am 0-1 all time in
Although
the NCAA tournament.
It was against a much higher seed.
Correct.
In Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia was a good team.
Although maybe you're good luck for Merrill Shayok.
Yeah, that might be true, because the other side of that coin is that I am now 8-1, I think. So 3-2-3. Yeah, I think I'm 8-1. Wait, yeah, 8-1 all time at the Big 12 tournament. So.
Ooh.
Nice. With the one loss being when Iowa State was really bad.
Yeah, exactly. And that's an outlier year. You can throw that out.
Exactly. So when Iowa State has a competent basketball team, I'm undefeated.
There you go. So we just got to make sure you're in the building every year. Even if somehow you were to quit your job, we'd have to get you there. We'd have to pay the GoFundMe to get Jared in the Sprint Center.
Exactly. I'm just the good luck charm. Yeah. I don't know what other possibility there could be.
Yeah.
You know? All right. So where do you want to start? You want to talk about the Big 12 tournament, or do you want to talk about the NCAA tournament?
We can briefly touch on the Big 12 tournament. I don't think there's probably a whole lot to say about it.
Breaking news. Kevin Dresser is your National Wrestling Coaches Association Division I National Coach of the Year.
Wow. Congrats to Coach Dresser.
Literally just came across the...
The old wire.
Came across the wire. Yeah. Okay. I guess it happened 38 minutes ago. But
oh.
So not really breaking news to anybody except for us.
Yeah.
Right now recording this podcast. But
good for him. It was a good turnaround.
Yeah. Good turnaround. Obviously, you know, the basketball tournament's happening. The wrestling tournament is happening this weekend as well.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to follow Jackie's coverage of yep. that over the weekend. Hopefully we'll have a couple Cyclones that end up on the podium
mm-hmm.
out there in Pittsburgh. All right. So what did you say you wanted to do the NCAA tournament first?
No, I mean, briefly summarize the Big 12 tournament.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't see that coming. I predicted that they would lose their first game to Baylor.
Yeah. You were the only one.
I was.
I think Chris did too. No, maybe not.
I think Chris said that they could, if they played well, they could get to the Big 12 tournament championship, but they would lose to Texas Tech. I think everyone just kind of agreed that once they ran into Texas Tech, then they'd lose.
Chris and I were sitting in, I think we were in the Marriott, like the first night we were there, and we had to get all those predictions in. And he was like, man, everybody picked him to go to the championship. He's like, I can't do that. And then he was like, oh, wait, Fitzy picked him to lose. No, I'm good. I'm good then.
I have to take the bullet.
Yeah.
So, like, now, so if we do a predictions piece for the NCAA tournament, now I have to predict that they lose to Ohio State to kick it off. And you guys can put in the real predictions.
Can I say, too, remember what I said was going to happen last week on this podcast? What the trajectory of the tournament run would be?
Remind me.
I said they'd beat Baylor convincingly to where everybody all of a sudden
got back on the train.
Yeah, they're like starting to get back on the train going into Friday, and they're like, man, you know, I don't want to buy all the way in yet. I don't want to go down there and have them lose to Kansas State or something. And then they beat Kansas State.
Yep.
And
it was a closer
on
game.
Saturday, you saw it, and I was like, and then on Saturday, everybody will be there.
Yeah.
And you know what happened?
Everyone was there. Yep.
I just want to say.
You did call that. Now that you mention it, you did call it.
I picked Kansas State to win Big 12, and now I called Iowa State making it the championship game and Cyclone Nation flooding Kansas City.
If only your predictions translated to Nebraska basketball as well.
Well, we can talk about that a little bit later on.
Is there a new development?
There's no new development, but I think I feel like we need to – I think we need to just clear the air a little bit.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
Because I'm sure we have differing opinions, and I've also, believe me, I've heard from some people over the last day.
Yeah. I get what you're talking about.
I think that there's just a discussion to be had about that entire situation.
Okay.
All right. So.
Big 12 tournament.
Yeah. The Big 12 tournament, I mean, I think the thing that was so crazy to me looking back on it now is that we went into it with no expectation whatsoever, where it's like they could lose on day one or they could go and win the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
realistically. And it was, in that sense, it was kind of the most surprising run of those four, where like even those other three teams, they weren't first or second seeds or anything like that. No, I think they're the 3 and 15. They're the 4 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were the 4 and 14 too.
Either the 4 or the 3 again, yeah.
So you go into those and it's like you could see a way that they could win, mm-hmm. you know. But it was like with this one, it's like, man, they could. I'm not going to pick it, but they could, you know. And then they just go and dominate on some sense,
mm-hmm.
you know. That Kansas State game obviously was close, but I still never felt like they weren't in a position to be able to win the game.
Yep.
I felt like Kansas State would run out of gas just out of the sense that they only had 6 guys or whatever it was. So it was like the most surprising, but also one of the most dominant runs of across 3 days that they've had in those 4 championships.
Yeah. And the thing that kind of stood out to me too is we'd seen it at other points this year where Mario Shayak would kind of step up and assume the role of, you know, I'm going to take the big shot. But he did that even more to a degree against Kansas State than we'd seen in other parts of the year.
Well, that's what's crazy is it was different guys on each day,
mm-hmm.
you know. Day one is THT.
Yep.
Was kind of the big story. Day two, it's Mariel Shayok with his huge shots. And then I think day three was more of just kind of a team effort. Obviously, make Michael Jacobson was a huge part of the second day as well.
Yeah.
But then it's Jacobson, it's Lindell, it's Mariel, it's Tyrese.
Yep.
Like, it was everybody making a contribution in some, like, in some way.
Yep.
And then that's how you – this was the first time that they played against Kansas where it just didn't feel like you were playing Kansas.
No.
You know?
Kansas – I do think that Kansas themselves would just say that they played terribly too. But obviously you do have to give Iowa State a bunch of credit for making them look that bad.
Right. And I think that there's so much of a mystique of playing Kansas. Like, some of the times – those teams are always good. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong. But it's almost the idea of them being Kansas that psychs you out a little bit.
Mm.
And it was going into the game, I was like, man, I don't think Kansas is that good.
Mm.
You know? And right away, it felt like Iowa State came out and punched them in the mouth a little bit. And you were like, yeah,
This Kansas team
These guys are not scared of this team.
Yeah.
You know? And they're just... they're like a shell of themselves right now.
Yep.
And obviously there's all the injuries and all that kind of stuff, but there's nothing about that team that screams, we are the Kansas Jayhawks to me.
Yeah. In the past, Kansas has either had one or two really dominant big men who could just, you know, destroy you on the inside, or they have a bunch of shooters that will just light it up.
Right.
But this team has Dedrick Lawson and then just a bunch of guys, it seems like.
And Dedrick Lawson is good. Don't get me wrong. But he's not a guy that can just, like, take over the game and own the game.
And he doesn't have a Robin to his Batman either.
No. And, I mean, he's a third-team All-American. He'll probably be a consensus All-American. But I just look at him and I'm like, I don't know. Like, okay. Yeah. I don't think.
He's good, but other teams in the conference have had good players too.
Right.
It's not like
they remind you of just like a normal Big 12 team.
Yeah.
Where they've got one guy who's really good, and then they've got some other guys that you can see where on a particular night they could hurt you.
Yeah.
But realistically, you're like, I don't know.
Honestly,
there's nothing that sets them apart from anybody else.
Their team this year kind of reminds me of like recent years Texas's teams. Like they've had a really good guy on the inside who can eat it up, but at the same time their outside shooting isn't anything spectacular.
I was gonna say they're almost like a man, I don't even know what the best comparison would be. I don't know. I don't know what the best way to compare it would be.
Hmm.
I mean, I think that that Kansas team is no better than any of the Fred teams.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's any better than – I think that a lot of the Iowa State teams of recent years would probably beat that Kansas team.
Well, I think any of the Big 12 tournament – winning teams could beat that Kansas team easily.
Right.
Yeah.
They were, and it's like I said, so as much as it is that I don't think they're that good. I mean, I said last night on our radio show, I mean, I think that KJ Lawson stinks.
Mm.
I think David McCormick stinks. I think Mitch Lightfoot stinks. They're throwing a bunch of Charlie Moore. I think he stinks.
Yeah.
They're throwing a bunch of dudes out there that it's like, why is this guy wearing a Kansas jersey?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't know. It was just the first time where you're watching them move and you can see an air of confidence where it's like, we're Kansas. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You're not knocking us off. We're right away in that game. It seemed like they knew.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we're about to get buried under an avalanche right now.
Their body language is different. You could tell.
When's the last time you saw I mean, we can go back to that first game. I mean, they get the technical foul for having six people on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you did not see Kansas make mistakes like that.
No.
Usually. Or where Dedrick Lawson fouls somebody and slams a ball up over the hoop. You don't see Kansas guys do that very often.
No.
Where just everything completely unravels on them, you know? And that was what it seemed like happened Saturday night, where even Bill Self, he's like, I thought we played hard. I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
And it does make you wonder how much, you know, Bill Self or even the people involved on their roster have been wondering about the investigation going off the court too.
Yeah. I don't know.
Their heads might not be completely where they need to be.
They're going to have to dig themselves out of a hole.
I think the throne
is up for grabs at this point. This is the first time in a long time where I legitimately think you could say people around the conference can look at Kansas and be like, there's a little bit of blood in the water right now.
Yeah. Yep.
For somebody to be able to take control of the league.
Mm-hmm. Because in past years, they'd shown some vulnerabilities, but then they'd pull it together by season's end, and of course, they'd come out with the title.
Yeah.
But this year, didn't get the title. Team doesn't look that good skill-wise. And it's not like, I mean, again, they'll probably have a couple of nice recruits come in next year, but even at this point, there's rumors that Bill Self may not be back.
Yeah. So. I don't think they'll get back to Kansas City in the NCAA tournament.
I think they lose to Auburn in the second round of the NCAA.
I picked them to lose to New Mexico State. I think New Mexico State's a real deal. And those guys are going to be motivated to play Kansas again.
Yeah.
I mean, they played them to the wire in the Sprint Center already in December, lost by 3.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they had the lead basically until right at the very end. And I think Kansas, they might not have had Azubuike, but they had LeGerald Vick when he was playing really well.
Yep.
That was a completely different basketball team. I think New Mexico State, a team who hasn't lost since like the 2nd of January, hasn't lost in 3 months. Mm-hmm. Those guys are confident. I bet they feel like if they get a matchup with Kansas, they'll beat them.
I sure hope so. It'd be nice to just see Kansas completely melt down. Because right now, all their fans can kind of just hang their hat on, oh, well, we'll be fine in the NCAA tournament. But then if that were to happen and they get upset or don't make it around out of the round of 32, then it's a failed year completely for them.
Definitely.
So.
All right, you want to talk more about the NCAA tournament then?
Yeah, we can briefly talk about what Iowa State's got going on.
So the draw was favorable,
yeah,
I think.
I wrote about this in my blog. That'll be up tomorrow. I like that they're playing Ohio State as opposed to a mid-major just because I think they're going to see that name brand. They're going to be like, wow, even though these guys are an 11 seed, they've still got a lot of talent.
Yeah. And it's not like Ohio State really tore it up in the Big Ten.
No.
You know, the Big Ten's obviously tough. It's a tough league. A lot of good teams in the Big Ten. But still, I'm like, I don't know. I'm not that intimidated by this Ohio State team.
Yeah. And then the big question mark will be, I do think that Houston will be the round of 32 opponent if Iowa State wins. I haven't seen Houston play this year, but I've kind of just come to, from what I've read, they're pretty balanced, it sounds like.
Yeah, they've got two guys who score in double figures, and they just play real slow.
Yeah.
They don't get out and run at all. I've watched them play twice. It just so happened that two of those games were two of their three losses.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what will it basically be a matchup of if Iowa State controls the tempo, then you think they win kind of thing?
I think they'll win. I do.
Really?
I mean, I fully expect Iowa State to get back to Kansas City.
Man, that would be fun. Because the likely opponent that in that Sweet 16 game will be Kentucky.
Which at that point, man, I don't know. I'd have a hard time picking that one.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. Because Iowa State fans will pony up for tickets at that point. But,
yeah.
But at the same time, I bet there's been a lot of Kentucky fans who have already bought tickets to that game.
Exactly. And I don't know. I should have a hard time thinking that Iowa State can beat them. I mean, they're good, you know. Yeah. And I know they lost to Tennessee on Saturday or whatever that was. And I know they got their butts kicked by Duke, like, in the first game of the year. Mm-hmm. That team is good. There's some good dudes on that team. P.J. Washington is, if he's not a first-team All-American, he's definitely a second team.
Yep.
And, you know, Tyler Hero has been awesome. I don't think in good faith I could be, like, going into that game with the expectation of them winning.
Yeah. But when you're in the Sprint Center, Hilton South, I mean.
You never know what can happen.
You can't count out Iowa State. That's the thing.
No. And it's the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
You know? You never know what can happen.
Yeah.
But you have to play North Carolina, too. Like, it's the same thing where it's like, man, I think they can win these first two. But once you get – if they made the Final Four, you sure as hell know they'd be battle-tested.
Exactly.
Because they would have had to beat two of the Blue Bloods to get there.
Then again, it could be a situation like last year for Kansas State where they just get a much easier path seemingly than they would have expected.
Maybe they'll end up playing New Mexico State in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe Wofford, Fletcher McGee. Wofford's Fletcher McGee.
The Terriers.
Will pop off for 35 points with 11 three-pointers.
I would love that. And then go completely cold the next game.
Yeah, that would be preferred.
Yeah. But that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament, man. Every team, if they get hot, they can beat anyone, you know?
Man, I wouldn't be shocked if Kansas lost to Northeastern.
Really?
Yeah, they got some. They shoot the ball like more than they're like up there in most 3-point attempts. They really shoot the ball.
So
Vasa Pusica
Of all the teams that have double digit seeds, who is your, if you had to hang your hat on them making a run
in the entire tournament?
In the entire tournament,
Murray State,
just because of Ja Morant.
Yeah, I mean that guy's just on another level.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where who's got the best player on the floor? Mm-hmm. More often than not, that team's going to have the best player.
And usually you tend towards guards. Good guards really will carry you in the tournament.
I'd have to look at the bracket, too.
So I have it right in front of me. Murray State obviously got Marquette in the round of 64.
I think they'll win that game.
Then they'll go on to play either Florida State or Vermont. I'm assuming Florida State will win that game.
Yeah, and I could see them beating Florida State. I couldn't see them beating Gonzaga, but...
Yeah, because they, in all likelihood, they would have Gonzaga in the next round. Unless Baylor or Syracuse use their 2-3 zone.
Man, Oregon will be a team to watch. They've been playing well here recently. Mm-hmm. Those dudes, they held Utah to like 40-something points or something like that.
And last
on
I knew,
Friday night.
They were favored by a point over Wisconsin, weren't they?
Yeah, they've just really been playing really well here recently. They've just taken a... I think I heard a quote from Kenny Wooten, who's one of their... I want to say he's a senior. He's like their center.
Mm.
It was something along the lines of, we don't care who scores the points. Someone could score 2 points, and nobody else could score the rest of the game because we're not going to let them score. It's like, and that's
a good
all,
mindset.
That's
to have.
All we care about.
Yeah.
So they're just like Dana Altman's got them bought into. We're not letting anybody score.
That's good. Because if I think Oregon basketball, usually I think up tempo try to outscore you.
Well, yeah, you think about those teams with Tyler Dorsey,
Dylan Brooks,
Chris Boucher.
Mm.
Man, they probably would have won the national championship that year if he didn't get hurt. Jordan Bell.
Yep.
Peyton Pritchard, who's still on the team. Man's he's in the Perry Ellis. how's this guy still playing college basketball?
Club.
Yeah. Man, if they had Bull Bull, they were a top 15 team to start the season.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Well, I think that's another one to keep an eye on. Can I see the bracket?
Yeah, sure.
If I can just look, if I look at it, I would have some other guys.
Yeah.
UC Irvine, I think, is one that a lot of people will think is will be trendy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, New Mexico State, I already mentioned them. Who else here? Belmont, as long as they win tonight. Whenever this podcast comes out, it might already be irrelevant. But
I picked Belmont to the Sweet 16.
I picked them to the second round. Liberty is a tough team, too. I mean, any of those 12s and the 11s outside of Ohio State, obviously.
Do you have any Big 12 teams making the Final Four?
I do not.
Okay. I have Texas Tech. I know, but man. I know they have a really tough road because assumingly they're going to play Michigan and Gonzaga, and those are two really good teams.
It's crazy. There's some – it's like super – like. Into the spectrum. Some people are like, Gonzaga got a super easy road to the championship. I'm like,
hell
dude,
no.
that thing is stacked. I mean, you could potentially play Ja Morant.
Honestly, I think that the winner of Michigan and Texas Tech is going to beat Gonzaga.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It could be.
I don't know. I think it might almost be good for them that they lost in the conference championship game.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing that I think about, you know, any team that lost, especially like Texas Tech, who got beat by West Virginia in the Big 12 tournament, you know, it's like it kind of refocuses them going into the tournament.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who you got winning the whole thing? I'm Duke. Sure I already know.
Duke. Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
They're just so much better with Zion.
Yeah. I think the only teams that could probably beat them would be like
North Carolina. I don't think West Virginia – or I don't think Virginia can beat them again.
No, I don't think Virginia can beat them again.
Maybe Kentucky if they play super well.
Yeah, it would have to be obviously a lot better than it was in the first time they played each other.
Tennessee if they're playing super good again.
Yeah, my Final Four is Duke, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Gonzaga. So I've got two rematches in the two semifinals, and then I've got Duke and Kentucky.
I've got
another rematch in the title game.
Duke versus Tech in one, and then Tennessee versus North Carolina in the other. So
okay. Yeah, North Carolina's playing well, too.
Mm.
I can't imagine anybody beating Duke right now.
Me either.
Those guys are on a mission.
Yeah. And, again, they're coached by the best coach in college basketball.
Yeah. Did you see – I was probably the only one watching ESPN after the selection show, but they were interviewing Zion and RJ Barrett, and I think it was maybe Reese Davis. I can't remember who it was that asked this question, but they said something along the lines of like, they asked him about how, like, the team came together before, like, how these all guys all became friends and decided they all want to go to Duke together. And then they said, do you think this will become a trend where more of these guys will decide to form super teams at the college level?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, neither one of them really said anything. And they both kind of, like, looked out of the side of their eyes at each other and just, like, grinned. And they're like, maybe. Just because it was, like, they knew, like, that rule is probably going to change before long enough for like it become a real trend, you know? And it was just like, like, why should we even have to have the option to do that? Everybody started laughing. I think so, that's kind of what it would, like, what they were trying to joke
about.
So
you're referring to the elite players being able to go either to the G League or the NBA immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you could just tell that they both looked at each other and they're like,
probably not.
Probably not. Yeah. And nobody wanted to say that.
Yeah.
All right. We got some mailbag questions.
We do. We have a couple. Let me pull them up real fast. All right. Sigmopolis asks, how would your feelings about Fred Hoiberg change if he took the job in Lincoln?
Man, this was going to be my hot and my not.
Well, so we're going early to hot not this week.
Here, let's take a break, and then we'll do the mailbag questions, because then we'll go about it that way. Or what's the other mailbag question? We'll do that one, then we'll come back.
Okay, sure. Siowin asks, I work with a girl who puts the milk in the bowl before the cereal and only eats the cereal once it's gotten soggy. Should I be worried she's a Russian spy?
That girl's an idiot.
Idiot and Russian spy. Idiot Russian spy.
I don't know. I don't have anything else to say. That girl's just an idiot.
I don't know. If you put the milk in the bowl before the cereal, number one, that's a huge red flag right at the bat. And then if you wait for the cereal to get soggy, that's red flag number two.
That's just weird. Yeah. Who does that? That girl is the feds.
I will say that the sogginess part kind of depends on the cereal, because some cereal, it's not as bad soggy compared to others. But I do prefer that crunch that you get with the fresh.
I agree.
Fresh pour. So.
Yeah, I have nothing else to say about that.
All right.
That
go to commercial already,
what is it, Siowin?
Siowin, yeah.
Siowin, tell that girl she's an idiot from Stans and Fitz.
Yep.
We'll be right back with more Stans and Fitz presented by the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's Chris interrupting this podcast because, you know, everybody wants to know that I get it asked all the time. How can we help Cyclone Fanatic? Well, you help Cyclone Fanatic by you support our advertisers, and everybody needs to be aware of eye care. I wasn't for a long time, and I went to Ames Eye Care, and they really helped me out. It's changed my life. I don't have headaches the way that I did. You've heard me talk about this. They're also in Des Moines at Des Moines Eye Care. And you need to think about this with your family. Get the kids checked out. Encourage the wife. Anything. Personalized eye care. Designer eyewear. I've got these sweet Maui Jim glasses that I use at work all the time. People think they look awesome. They meet your whole family's vision needs at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Check them out today and support Cyclone Fanatic. Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now, that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny, is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give them a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatic sent you.
Hey guys, it's Jared here with another message from MechDime. Are you looking to jumpstart your IT career, or maybe you're a student looking to earn some extra cash? Well, listen up. MechDime is currently looking to hire both full-time and part-time IT help desk agents to respond to and help troubleshoot client IT technical issues. You can get your foot in the door at an awesome company with a super fun culture that I've seen firsthand with my own eyes. So go visit the career page at MechDine.com. That's MechDine.com. Check them out today.
Welcome back. Time for Hot and Not. My Hot and Not is the same thing.
Yep.
You can read the question again.
Yeah, again, the question from Sigmopolis was, how would your feelings about Fred Hoiberg change if he took the job in Lincoln?
I want to hear your opinion first.
It's tough for me because I feel like as a younger fan, again, I didn't grow up with Fred Hoiberg. I was born in 1993, which I think was maybe his last year, or at least during his tenure.
So you weren't old, even if you were alive, you weren't old enough.
I wasn't old enough to remember him playing basketball. I only know him from highlights. So it's a little bit different for me. But I do think that him going back into the college job market kind of just shows you that people may have thought of Fred Hoiberg as Iowa State to the bone, but I think it kind of just shows you that Fred Hoiberg is just a little bit more what a typical coach would be. He wants to coach. He doesn't necessarily care that it's at Iowa State. It's the kind of thing where Iowa State was great when it happened, it worked. It was a win for both parties. But at the same time, to think that he would only coach Iowa State or only ever, you know, want Iowa State to be, I don't know, his thing.
Well, I don't think that okay, so here's my thing.
Okay.
And this kind of goes off your entire deal, where there's been a lot of people, I think, who act like, yeah, Fred could never coach anywhere else because he's Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Hoiberg is Iowa State. Iowa State is Fred Hoiberg.
He's the mayor of Ames. Mayor of Ames.
He's the mayor. Exactly. And because of that, that must mean that he bleeds Cardinal and gold the same way that
I do.
Yeah, that you do. Or than anybody does. People that have a very direct affinity for Iowa State, where it's like you love Iowa State to the bone. And I'm not saying Fred does not love Iowa State. Mm. I guarantee Fred will always want Iowa State to do well.
Yeah.
It's just that there's so much more to it than that, where he left Iowa State. Iowa State now has a basketball coach. Do you think Fred's going to sit around and be unemployed and just wait?
No.
For a way for him to somehow end up at Iowa State again? That's not very realistic.
No.
And
coaching is a business.
The people that are questioning the thing about going to Nebraska, and I know that I'm going to always.
You're the Nebraska fan, Jared.
I was just going to say, I know that people are going to take this as like, oh, that's just a Nebraska fan. Like, but I'm trying to look at this from
an unbiased perspective.
From an unbiased perspective. Where I'm sure Fred looks at this job. He sees brand new facilities. He sees a brand new arena. Not brand new. Pretty new. Not very nice facilities in a five-year-old arena. So in arena terms, basically brand new. He sees a school and a demographic similar to the one that he already has had success at, a place where his grandfather was the head coach, a place where his niece, I think, works in the basketball office. He has connections already to this program. Oh, and let's throw in on top of that the fact that he will be one of the 10 highest paid coaches in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
A place where he's probably going to make, I don't know what Steve Prohm's salary is. I'd have to look. I'm going to look right now. But USA Today, college basketball salaries. I think he'll make like $1.5 million more than what
Steve Prohm makes.
Than what Prohm makes. Pulling it up. Prohm makes, where's it at?
Probably near the bottom, because I know he's still technically in the
bottom
half of the
Big 12. Steve Prohm makes I think this is from this year. Yeah, this is this year. Basically $2 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is,
it's got to be 8th or 9th or 10th in the Big 12.
It is 53rd in college basketball. The number I've heard for Fred Hoiberg.
Is it 4?
Would put him as the 7th highest paid coach in the country, one spot ahead of Roy Williams, 2 spots ahead of Jay Wright, 3 spots ahead of Bob Huggins, ahead of John Beilein, ahead of Greg Marshall,
ahead of plenty of Hall of Fame
Rick
coaches.
Barnes, Shaka Smart,
yeah,
Lon Kruger, guys that, how many guys did I just name there? 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6 of which have been to the Final Four. Fred Hoiberg's never been to the Final Four.
Nope.
And they're going to pay him $4 million?
Hard to turn that down.
At that point, I get it. I get where everybody's upset.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to get paid to do that much money to do what you do,
yeah,
and do it in a place that you know, man, it's hard. It's hard to say no. And yeah. I get it. I get it as an Iowa Stater.
As an Iowa State fan, when you think Nebraska, you think, oh gosh, those Cornhuskers.
Yeah.
Those people who beat us up in football more years than not, never showed any mercy. You know, everyone likes to think their fans in general are the redneck E-type, even though it's probably not the case. But.
And you know what? I'm going to be honest. I think he'll win there. I do. I think that he will get there and they might be have a tough first year, they'll figure out a way to get guys. And we know Fred Hoiberg knows basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been a long time since they've had a coach who really knew basketball. Mm-hmm. They've got some guys who will go back next year who will be good players. I mean,
you were, again, you were so confident enough that you thought they were going to be back in the big, or the NCAA tournament this
year. And would win a game for the first time in school history.
That you made that bet.
I think, and you lose your three of your top players off of this team, but you bring back Isaiah Roby. You bring back Thomas Allen and Amir Harris. And that's assuming that these guys all come back, despite the fact that the coach there would be a coaching change. Mm. But they've got a kid sitting out that transferred there that's supposed to be the real deal. I mean, I think that he will go in there and be able to win. And, I love Ted Flynn. I love him. Love him to death. He's like my brother. But he texted me yesterday, and he brought up how basically I'd read it again, but I think I can get the kind of gist of it, how it's selfish in a sense that Fred would do this in the middle of Iowa State's tournament run, because now this is what the Iowa State players and coaches are going to have to answer questions about on Thursday at open practice.
Fred,
and stop. If that's what you think is the case, stop.
That's not something that Fred Hoiberg should have to be concerned about.
Exactly. It's not something that Fred Hoiberg should have to be concerned about. And the fact of the matter is that nobody at Iowa State has any concern about it either.
Yeah.
Steve Prohm doesn't have any concern about that. Steve Prohm is getting his team ready for the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
The players are getting ready to play in the NCAA tournament. How many of those guys played for Fred?
None.
Zero. And Ted said, well, it'll make it harder for you guys to do your job. No, it won't. I'll keep doing my job the same way. Oh, if Fred wins at Nebraska, everybody's going to compare Steve Prohm to Fred. Who do they compare Steve Prohm to already?
Yep.
He's already compared to Fred. Yep. How is it any different that he goes to Nebraska? He could have gone to UCLA. Oh, Fred goes and wins a national championship. Well, why hasn't Steve Prohm ever won us a national championship?
Yep.
That's what it – you can't have it where Fred Hoiberg is going to be one of you, because he is not. He's not. It's just it's reality.
Yeah.
And – I know, like I said, I know I'm going to get pushback on this because of the fact that I have made it clear in the time that I've worked here that I grew up a Nebraska fan. But I think everybody knows, too, that in the last 6 years now, I've gotten pretty firmly ingrained in this culture as well. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place in how I want to feel about it. It sucks. It sucks for me where I'm like, man, I can't get excited about what Nebraska's doing, because that guy, I know how mad that's going to make everybody that I'm around.
Yeah. So I must ask, in your opinion, if you had to put a percent on likelihood of Fred Hoiberg ending up in Lincoln, what would the percent be right now?
I won't put it at 100, because there's no 100% until...
until the dotted line is signed.
The papers are signed and the guy is out there recruiting. And even then, Chris Beard was at UNLV for 2 days. Yeah. Dana Altman had an opening press conference as the head coach at Arkansas. I would put it at very high percentage.
Like 80?
From things that I've heard. Yes, I would put it at a very high percentage.
Okay.
And I believe that from what I've been able to gather from people in Lincoln, that's about what I hear is basically what is actual fact. And I don't feel comfortable reporting anything.
Yeah.
I don't want people to think that, but I am very confident that this is what will end up happening.
And so do you assume that the timeline is once Nebraska loses in the NIT, that it will shortly after hear the word of Tim Miles being shown the door, and then shortly after that it'll probably be maybe a few days and then Fred will be announced?
People that are more in the know in Nebraska than I am were saying today on something I was listening to, If Nebraska loses in the NIT on Wednesday to Butler, Tim Miles would probably be fired within 24 hours, and it would not shock them for this to be official by the weekend.
Wow.
For it to be that fast.
Wow.
And that's basically what I would probably expect too. That's what I would have expected. I heard about this late last week, that this was coming together, and there's been a lot of smoke. And yep. You know, maybe it could be him using it for leverage. I've seen people talking about that. It could be. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that it is. I think that this is very real. Yeah. And it's just something that people are going to have to learn to live with.
So then, I guess this might be a question more for me to ask myself, but do you think, as an Iowa State fan, should Iowa State fans be Should they root for Fred Hoiberg if they go to Nebraska? I mean, or is that a kind of thing where, oh, Nebraska's a rival, or at least used to be a rival?
See, and I think that's what makes it so tough is that he's 4 hours away. Mm-hmm. I think if he'd gone a lot of other schools, people probably would have figured out a way to root for him.
Yeah.
But it's
– And the nice thing is –
It's 100 years of history between the two schools that it's hard to get over that.
And the nice thing is that no matter what, Iowa State will not play Nebraska in basketball head-to-head unless, of course, they come to some
right.
non-conference.
And they would not do that, or unless they're playing in the NCAA tournament.
Correct. But Fred Hoiberg will be recruiting against Steve Prohm, more than likely, for a few recruits.
Probably.
So.
But how often Nebraska and Iowa State go to head-to-head right now?
I mean, not often.
I mean, the last person I can I think the only person that I can legitimately think of that, like, went on a visit to Iowa State and went on visits to Nebraska, I think is Tyrese Haliburton. That's the only guy that I can think of that they legitimately really were battling with.
Though, you would think that Fred Hoiberg's style would compare, compare to Steve Prohm's. So I would think that he would start going after a different type of recruit than maybe Nebraska had gone after in the past.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
But
I just...
It's tough because you want Fred to do well because he is an alumni. He helped Iowa State basketball get back on the map. All those good things. Obviously, he played, had a great playing career too. Always has great things to say about Iowa State.
Without Fred Hoiberg, Iowa State probably is not playing in the NCAA tournament this weekend.
No, probably not.
Iowa State doesn't have four Big 12 tournament titles in 6 years.
Yep.
That guy brought it back.
Yep.
He got it back where I think all of us believe that it should be, that it can be. And the realistic situation is that, you know, I saw Ted tweet about how he wants a guy who's going to retire at Iowa State. How many people retire at the school that they're at?
Very few.
After spending a long time there. Really retire. Now, don't go and get another job where they were told to retire.
Yeah. Unless you're Duke and you get Coach K.
You get lucky. Tom Izzo.
Yeah. You can't say Roy Williams because he was at Kansas for a while.
He's bounced around.
Yeah.
Nobody
can't say Bill Self. He was at Illinois for a while.
Bill Self left his went to Oklahoma State.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think of people who have been at their schools for a while, but even those guys had taken other coaches' jobs in the past, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just this business, there is allegiance, but man, it's a business. And it's hard to last that long. To last that long at some of these places to where you aren't going to get fired or you're not going to try and escape before the mob gets you.
That's the thing. Like either expectations will grow so high that you cannot meet them.
Right.
Or you achieve so much that another opportunity comes up.
Well, and that's what's crazy is it's at Nebraska. Tim Miles has not done a terrible job.
No.
I mean, where the program was when he got there, they had like three scholarship guys his first year.
Where Nebraska basketball is right now is honestly pretty dang good for Nebraska basketball.
And that's what I'm saying is that, I mean, okay, they go to the NCAA tournament one time. Man, they've been in the NCAA tournament, I think, three times in the 24 years I've been alive.
Mm.
Okay. Like, you can't get that mad about it. But when he took over, I think they went 8-19 the year before. I believe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Tim Miles comes in. He gets it to the point where they're consistent. He will leave with an above 500 record at Nebraska.
Mm.
I don't think there's many coaches that have done that. And he has gotten the program through building this new basketball facility, building this new arena, and elevated the program to the point where they can go and get that kind of guy and pay that kind of money and say, we are making this kind of commitment to this program because we think that we have the pieces – to be good in this sport. And that was never the case before.
Yeah.
That was never the case when you're going and hire mid-major coach after mid-major coach.
Yeah. So here's another thought from a conversation that I had with one of my Nebraska friends. He actually texted me and just kind of said, hey, there's a lot of smoke to these Fred Hoiberg rumors. And we kind of went back and forth on it. He was like, I put forth the hypothetical of, would you rather for sure get Fred Hoiberg or for sure make a bowl next year? And he was like, well, obviously I want to make a bowl no matter what, but I would scrap the basketball program today for one extra football win in 2030. That was his opinion. And I think his opinion doesn't match what a lot of fans are, I'm sure. But I do think there is a contingent of Nebraska's fan base who doesn't give two craps about basketball in the least. And it's
that might be fair.
It might be a pretty large contingent too.
I respectfully disagree. Because that, and this, there was a guy who works for the World Herald that he went on a long rant just about Nebraska sports and the some of the unrest, like in the fan base there. And he just, outside of the volleyball program, nobody has been winning there recently. The women's basketball is fine. Men's basketball is this, what it's always been, basically. Football has not been winning. That's a place that got really used to winning in a lot of stuff, going to the College World Series and winning national championships in volleyball and pretty consistently being good in basketball there in the Danny Nee era and having a lot of good players. And all of a sudden, there's not a whole lot of winning going on there outside of bowling, women's bowling, and volleyball. And that's where a lot of people have gotten a little impatient. If Fred Hoiberg goes there and wins, man, it ain't going to take very long for Nebraska ball to have a much higher profile in that state than it ever did previously.
So, I mean, it might be a harsh way of saying it, but you might say that Nebraska fans are a little bit fair weather as it comes to...
In a sense. I mean, think about when their fan base really grew.
Yeah,
think about the success that they had during that time.
Yeah. I mean, they were winning natties, obviously.
Yeah, and... I mean, not everybody in the fan – it's like Iowa State. There's a lot of Iowa State fans that didn't go to Iowa State, you know. There's a lot of Nebraska fans that didn't go to Nebraska. Not everybody has the connection to Nebraska that my mom does, where she went to school there and my great-grandpa went to school there and my family bought season tickets to their football games in the 70s. Not everybody's got that, where they've been through some of the things besides winning three national championships in 4 years and only living on the top of the world. In that sense, where it's just like, they were good. Now I'm a fan of them.
Yep.
Like the Golden State Warriors fans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That a lot of Golden State Warriors fans in 2019, do you think they lived through the Baron Davis years?
No.
Or PJ Carlissimo getting choked by Latrell Sprewell? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
It just, if football is good, I think football will be good. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the near future. I don't think they're going to win the national championship, but I think they will compete in the West consistently.
They'll be better than 3-9.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
And in basketball, they've lived a long time, man, with them being bad.
Yeah.
If they get any good, I mean, how hard is it to get excited when you know the fact that we've never won an NCAA championship? Like, they've never won an NCAA tournament game.
Yeah.
I don't think they've ever won a regular season conference championship.
It does make you wonder if they get to the point where they win one NCAA tournament game, how much will the fan base grow just because of that?
Man, that fan base has grown a lot since 2014 when Teran Petaway and Walt Pitchford in Tim Miles's, I think, third year, maybe second year, took them to the NCAA tournament. Do you remember No Sit Sunday? You remember hearing about that? Where they played Wisconsin, who was the number three team in the country on the last day of the regular season. And it was like if they won that game, they were going to go to the NCAA tournament. And it was packed to the rafters with an entire fan base that did not sit down the entire day. Because to this day, it's the most important day in the history of Nebraska basketball.
Yeah.
Because that was a day when you showed what it could be.
Yeah.
That's what you're selling to a guy like Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah. And obviously there is potential. And Fred has to see it too if he's actually interested.
Right. He wouldn't be interested if he didn't legitimately think there was some way that you could do it. And I know that everybody's going to say that, you know, it's been a bad job forever. You've never won all – like, there's no history there.
They said the same damn thing about Iowa State football before Matt Campbell came here.
Exactly. And there's been – there's everything else that you need to be really good except for history. And then – I think a guy like Fred has enough self-confidence to say, hey, I can go make some history.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's where I'm at. We talked about this for 20 minutes, and I'm sure people are tired of hearing us talk about it, and I know that people are going to be mad at me. But I just –
It does annoy me the way that many fans approach Fred Hoiberg, even without the whole him possibly coaching Lincoln thing.
I don't want – yeah. And it's – the Steve Prohm thing, they're completely different from each other.
Yep.
I hate that we
are still in year four of the Steve Prohm era comparing him directly to Fred.
Yes.
It's getting so annoying.
Anybody who does that is just lazy.
Yeah.
You're lazy with your arguments.
At this point, Steve Prohm, again, you can argue that he won that first that first Big 12 championship tournament title with Fred's players. But at this point, he's won two.
It's the same people that I want to win a national championship. I want to win a Big 12 regular season title.
Yeah.
You know what? In the last 15 years, like three guys have done that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yep.
To win a national title in the last like 30 years, there's like eight schools. It's hard. There's 353 men's basketball programs in Division I.
And I think
– so don't use that as another way to be like, oh, Steve Prohm, like, I don't like him because he can't win the national championship.
And the thing is, when you look at how low the program was during the Greg McDermott era, and you see – you look at the linear path of the growth that Fred Hoiberg took, you kind of expect that – or at least a portion of the fan base that likes to make the comparisons thinks, oh, it's going to continue on this exact same line. We got to continue seeing this amount of growth. But in reality, once you get to that certain point where it starts getting much harder and you get into resistance, that's where Steve Prohm is. You can't expect him to go out there and keep, you know, doing even better than Fred Hoiberg did.
Man, and think about the schools that win the national championship.
Yeah.
Consistently.
Yep.
There's a...
The Blue Bloods.
There's an underlying... Yes.
Iowa State is
there
not
is an
a Blue Blood.
Underlying similarity between all of those schools. And they're also being named in some pretty serious stuff.
Yeah.
At times.
Yep.
Do you guys want Iowa State in that? That's what it takes.
Yeah.
Just to be real, that's what it takes sometimes to sell your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Iowa State wants to sell their soul.
Nope.
And because it'd be a hell of a lot more embarrassing, think how the people at LSU feel right now.
Yep.
Where I know they're all still backing Will Wade and stuff, there will be a day when
they will.
When all of this comes to a head, they're going to be like, man, I wish that our program was not involved in this. And you get one season of memories out of it.
Yep.
I don't know. There's my rant for today.
There you go.
And I'm sorry for anybody that I upset, but I'm just trying to make sure that there's a lot of people that I don't think are being very realistic about this entire thing.
Agreed.
They're looking at it way too much with their cardinal and gold colored glasses.
Yep. I'm with you there, and I do think that some people will probably say, oh, man, Stan's talking about Nebraska again. But, again, this is a very real reason to talk about Nebraska basketball.
This is a cyclone topic.
Absolutely.
And it's just unfortunate because of the fact that I get thrown into the middle of it on where
– when you combine
because I've been open about this.
Two controversial things, Fred Hoiberg and Nebraska in any sense.
And you know what? I'm never – people get – there's plenty of people that hate that I talk about Nebraska. But you know what?
It's who you are.
If I did these things, that's part of me. Like, yeah. If I'm going to come on here and do this, and I'm going to do it at any kind of high level, I got to be myself.
Yep.
And that's me being myself. And so anybody who doesn't like that
can shove it.
Yeah, exactly. You can shove it. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't care what those people think because I'm going to keep doing it and I'm going to keep being me because it's gotten me this far at least. Who knows how much further it'll ever get me, but I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
All right, what's your hot notch? Just tell them to me.
I get to go.
I got to calm down. I'm going to take a drink of my Mountain Dew.
Mike Trout is my hot this week.
Baseball. Great.
Hey, it's kind of big news. He gets the richest contract in professional sports history at 12 years, $430 million. So
Trout walked into this office right now, not wearing any Angels gear, would you know?
Yes.
Okay, you might be an outlier. I probably wouldn't.
You might not. But, I mean... I'm also bigger into baseball than you.
I might. I'd probably look at him and be like, damn, that guy looks like Mike Trout.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
There's only a handful of baseball players that I'd legitimately be like, oh, that's who that is.
To break it down, he makes $4,087.75 an hour, and which equates to, if you go down to seconds, he makes over a dollar a second. Think about that. It's ridiculous.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean.
I believe there was a. Someone,
how many is it? How much is it per year? Like 34
million? 34, 35
million,
yeah. I believe if he went to bat, say, 670 times a year, I believe someone broke it down that every time he stepped into the batter's box, he would get paid $55,000.
What are the Angels doing?
Well, I mean, and the crazy thing is if
– because isn't that money all guaranteed?
I believe so.
In baseball?
The crazy thing is, too, though, if you look at the contracts that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado got and you compare their production to Trout's, Trout very well could be worth more than what he just got paid.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely insane.
I don't know.
But it is interesting, though, because if you think about if Mike Trout was a member of the Yankees or anyone like on the East Coast, you would think he'd be a way bigger figure. But I think because so many of the Angels games are, you know, past bedtime here in the central and eastern parts of the state of the country, he kind of goes unnoticed. Because, again, I know you're not the biggest baseball fan, but you think that if Mike Trout walked in the room, you should be able to recognize him because he's this insanely good.
And I think the reality of the situation is, too, that there's a lot more people now that even if they like baseball, they follow one team.
Mm.
And even then, I mean, I follow the Cardinals, but it's casually.
Yeah.
You know, there's not that many people that are like rabid all around baseball fans.
Yeah. And the reason I've kind of got, again, I've mentioned this before, but if you do fantasy sports and I do fantasy baseball, then you kind of follow other teams outside of, again, for me, it's the Cardinals as well.
Uh-huh.
So that part helps. But I mean, it's insane the amount of money he's going to make this year and in 12 years into the future. So
respect to him.
Respect.
That I just don't get what the Angels are doing where they're giving these people contracts where,
well,
kids could be like, you could have a kid in 2 years and your kid be 10 years old by the time that Mike Trout's career or his contract ends. Isn't Mike Trout like 26?
He is, I want to say 27.
Okay. So he could still have several years left in his career.
He's going to be 39 when his contract's up and he's still going to be making $35 million a year.
Right. Yeah. It's like Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
Man, that contract probably ends in two years.
Early 2020s. Yeah. Sometime.
Albert Pujols has been playing baseball since we were probably in the third or fourth grade.
Yeah. I remember when I was in Little League, one of our big team bonding trips was to go see the Cardinals play a game.
When he signed that deal that was, what was it, $200 million for 10 years?
And it was like this biggest.
Oh, and it was
the biggest thing ever.
Yeah. It was almost unfathomable. $200 million?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How could somebody make $200 million?
Yep.
And now Mike Trout's just going to make double that real quick.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. But the thing is, I will say that if you had pulled me back then and I wasn't in middle school and I knew what I knew now, I would probably project that Mike Trout will be much better into his old age than Albert Pujols would be, I would think.
Yeah, Albert had started to break down a little bit.
And I think Albert...
But we weren't in middle school then. That was...
Well, okay, elementary school, whatever it was.
When Albert, what do you mean?
When he signed his big contract. Oh, well, that came later.
I say, we were in high school
when
that happened.
That came later.
I think I was a senior in high school when that happened.
You're right. So whenever it was. Anyways, I would project that Albert Pujols would probably break down just because I think he was so much more based on power.
Yeah. And like I said, you could already see that he had started to break down.
Yeah.
His feet had started to break down a little bit.
Yep. And you know, he played first base, wasn't as mobile as Mike Trout is.
And he wasn't 26 or 27.
Yeah.
He was in his early 30s.
Yep. So, yeah, man, the Angels just have so much money to spend, apparently.
Must be nice.
Yep, must be nice.
$34 million for one person.
All right, my not this week, Iowa and Tennessee. Both of them, assuming Iowa doesn't pull the upset, will likely have to play Cincinnati in Columbus, Ohio in the NCAA tournament. How big of a how mad would you be if you were an Iowa fan having to do that?
You know what I'd say?
What?
Would they lose down the stretch? 5 of 6?
Something like that.
Don't lose 5 of 6 down the stretch if you don't want to go play Cincinnati in Columbus, Ohio.
Fair enough.
Tennessee can be mad. That's a little more legitimate.
Yeah, yeah.
But for Iowa, I don't feel bad for them.
That's a good point. Okay, let me rephrase that. As a Tennessee fan, would you be absolutely PO'd?
Yeah, at that point, I think you have a legitimate concern. But the Iowa one.
Do you give any...
Be glad you're not playing in Dayton.
Do you think that Cincinnati could beat Tennessee if they end up beating the Hawkeyes first?
Haven't watched enough of Cincinnati to say. I watched them play Houston. That's it.
And that was one of those wins?
Yeah, they beat them on Sunday.
I mean, you think about Cincinnati teams regularly, they're usually really good on defense and really physical.
Gritty, tough, play slow, beat the crap out of you.
Yep.
Kind of team that gives Iowa trouble a lot.
Yep, and hopefully does again.
Yeah, I can't imagine Iowa winning that game, but maybe they will. We're already at 50 minutes, almost an hour. Do we want to do anything else?
Unless you want to ask me some questions. Otherwise, I'm up for whatever you want to do.
All right. I'll read this one more time. Cyclone Fanatics coverage of the 2019 NCAA tournament is presented by the Iowa Clinic and the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. The Iowa Clinic is a longtime supporter of what we do at Cyclone Fanatic and is a big reason why you can all consume our content 100% free of charge. Be a man, go to the doctor. Thanks to our friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. Thanks to the folks at the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. Thanks to Carl Chevrolet. We're in the Carl Chevrolet studios. What else?
More sponsors.
Thanks to...
Shout out to all the Cyclone Fanatic sponsors.
Shout out to all the Cyclone Fanatic sponsors.
In general. Even if you haven't... Even the future sponsors who haven't even sponsored us yet.
Thanks to you. I don't know. Thanks to you guys, the listeners, for getting us to 60 episodes.
You, individual listener.
Of the...
Number 5,000.
Of Stands and Fits. thanks to Fred Hoiberg and Steve Prohm and Mariel Shayok and all the... And DeAndre Kane and George Niang and everybody that's given us some pretty great memories down in Kansas City. And
get emotional in here.
We'll talk to you guys again soon. I'll talk to you guys from Tulsa. Beat the Buckeyes. Peace.